Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood. You know, the real conversations.
Tips and tricks.
Products we love.
And brands we can't live without.
Let's get into it. Well, I have got to put my hands in the air and share that I got so drunk on Saturday night and thought it would be a really good idea to invite people back to my house.
Sorry.
Where my kids asleep upstairs and have a house party.
Oh my God.
Who do I think I am?
You need to grow up.
I do not need to grow up. You take that back.
I love saying that to people.
It was so funny because I thought that I'd asked everyone to leave at one. And I said, because Dozer's not drinking at the moment. He's being amazing. He's now, what is he, kind of 35 days or something into it? But obviously, I'm ignoring that. And so he went to bed at 11:30 and he was like, oh, what time did you come up? And I was like, oh, I think it was about one. And then I looked back at the camera, the Ring camera thing that we've got outside, and it was 2:30 when I was telling everyone to leave.
Grim. You have done a lot of socialising this weekend. I think...
Three times.
Yeah, I think that's your lot now.
100%.
I'm done with it. It's got to be until like, what, April, May?
It is. Okay, let's see how that goes. How was your weekend?
Yeah, it was good. Not as social as yours. Just chilled, actually. Oh, do you know what? This is a complete curveball in this lovely, lighthearted conversation. Because actually, something happened yesterday and it really shook us all up.
No.
So we were on the motorway and this guy was in the fast lane and he went straight into the concrete bit in the middle. So I don't know if he fell asleep, what happened, but he went straight into it and his tire completely burst. We were two cars behind. His tire completely burst and he went all the way across, like all the lanes. This is on the M25, so I don't know how many lanes there are. But
oh my God, that's
lot.
The crash. That's the crash that closed it.
I don't know.
I heard about it on the radio.
I don't know.
Yes.
But anyway, so we were just a couple of cars back, and he didn't crash into anybody else. And I don't know how.
Oh God,
I really don't know how. Anyway, so we pulled over because Jay's was like, oh, we need to see if he's all right. But there was no hard shoulder. So we were like pulled over on just these like zigzag things. Anyway, he was all right. I mean, he had blood pouring out of his head and it was just not very nice. The kids are obviously petrified, but
oh my God, George,
it was really awful. I mean, we've all been there when the kids, you know, you're driving along and the kids take their belt off of their car and try and get out of their car seat. Gigi does it.
Yeah, it's a nightmare.
It's freaking scary.
Yeah.
You know, you just think, oh, like, it's, you know, it'll be fine, just get back in your seat, like all that kind of stuff. But anyway, yesterday that happened and I was like, no.
Well, do you know what? I haven't shared this on the podcast yet, but my mum and her partner had a really bad car crash in Kenya 2 weeks ago. And had they not been wearing their seatbelts or the airbags had gone off, I don't know what sort of chat we'd be having today. The whole of the front of the car was crushed.
Oh,
they also
gosh.
Hit a piece of coral and the tire blew exactly the same as what you're describing. And then they ricocheted off and smashed into a concrete pylon.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, the photographs, Tim lost two teeth, black eye. My mum got loads of cuts. Like, it was a bad one. So me the same as you, actually, feeling like the car safety thing, even though you might get a bit flippant and be like, oh, it's all right, you know,
yeah, you know,
not take it that seriously. I don't know. Like, we absolutely have
to. Yeah, I know.
Like, you 100%
yeah,
have to.
Yeah, I know.
Well, a lesson learned, and I'm glad
he
was all right.
I know, but yeah. I mean, they're now screaming like, I keep seeing the man with blood coming out of his head in my head.
Oh my
you know,
God,
and you're like,
George.
Oh, God.
Yeah, scarred for life. No, they'll be fine. Yeah, they'll be fine. And thank God it was all right. But yeah, very, very scary experience. But the rest of the weekend, not as scary as that?
No, the rest of the weekend was lovely. And we just did just normal stuff, like football, ballet, went out for lunch with James's family. Like, just not like very chilled, nice. Lovely weekend, no dramas.
Love that.
Other than that,
we've got into obviously our bike riding as a family now, and we did another 10K on Sunday afternoon.
Lovely.
It's just so impressed it's with nice them. Do you know what? We were going on the roads and everything.
Did you hear that? That was my Apple Watch.
Yeah.
It said, it's nice to be appreciated.
Well, stop trying to steal my thunder. Sorry. I'm telling my really interesting story about our bike ride.
I think it was talking to you. That is so weird.
We need to get into the podcast because we had a really, really amazing, but a long conversation with today's guest because there was so much to talk to her about. And it was our first session back in the studio, as in, you know, looking in the whites of our guests' eyes and really kind of finding out what was going on in their life. And what a beautiful chat we had. I've known today's guest for a very long time, since she was about 18. So literally just when she went into TOWIE. And since then, she's had the most incredible career. Is a single parent. We talked about that, didn't we?
We did. We talked about lots of stuff, her upbringing, like her hopes for the future. We touched on TOWIE. There's a funny story that you brought up about meeting a pig in her kitchen while you were getting ready for, for the BAFTAs or what was it for?
For the Brits.
which was good. But you know what? It was such a great chat and she really was just wonderful, wonderful. Oh my God, why does it keep talking to me? I need to put this under a pillow. What? Why do you keep talking to me?
Georgia, who are we talking to today? Not your
Apple
Watch.
We're not talking to my Apple Watch. We're talking to Lydia Pryde.
So today's guest burst onto our screens in TOWIE when she was just, I'm going to say 18 or 19 years old, making us laugh with her hilarious personality and warm nature. She's gone on to be an influencer, an author, a dab hand at DIY from her Instagram, and the most incredible mum to Loretta. Please welcome a very old friend of mine and someone who I love very much, Lydia Bright, to the podcast.
Yay!
What an introduction.
We have been excited for this one, really excited for this one. But before we get into it, because we've got loads to ask you, how are you? How's your morning been? What's it been like?
It's been good. So I woke up this morning at 6 a.m. I'm still, this is ridiculous because I got back from Australia 2 weeks ago, but I'm still waking up earlier and going to sleep really early.
Right.
So yeah, maybe 5:36 I woke up, did my laundry, unloaded my dishwasher, got my kid ready for school, went to the chiropractor, and then here I am.
That's a sign of, that is a mother, isn't it? Because if I'm not trying to be kind of gender skewed here, but if you say to men.
Yeah.
What have you done? They just go, oh, I just got up, had a shower, came in, and it's like, done laundry, I've done cleaning, I've cleaned up the kitchen. It's like, how do we do it?
Day.
Yeah.
You've done it all.
Talking of Sydney and your holiday, how was it travelling 22 hours with a three-year-old?
So I was nervous because Loretta has done like long distance already, but it was my first solo flight with her. So I've travelled before like 24 hours, but I've been with my full family. So I've had like a squad to tag team with, but this was my first solo flight and I thought, way to throw myself in at the deep end. But gonna be completely honest, it was absolutely fine.
Yes.
It's a little bit of a concern, but basically I was exhausted from Christmas because, you know, it's like wrapping up work. I was going away for 2 weeks, so everything was being squeezed in. I also hosted this year for Christmas for 18 people.
Oh, God.
So we flew on Boxing Day, or was it the 27th? One of those days. So I was absolutely exhausted. So I remember when I got on the flight and we had like a 4 a.m. start, I said to the stranger sitting next to us, I'm really paranoid that I'm going to fall asleep on this flight and my child is just going to start like walking around the cabin, but I'm so tired. And he was just like, you'll be fine. And I fell asleep, woke up. We were doing a stopover. There was 1 hour left on the flight. I'd slept for 5 hours. And I said to the guy, I went, has she been okay? And he went, yeah, fine. I went, has she slept? And he said, no, just been on our iPad. Done a sticker box. I got her a meal. I slept for 5 hours.
Oh my God. And I was just going to say, how was it okay and why was it okay? But now you've completely... So basically, the tip is get on the flight tired, fall asleep...
And leave your child to a stranger.
And leave your child. Make sure they've got an iPad. I mean, really? They can't go anywhere.
True. Yeah, but it's still a little bit concerning.
Have you seen snakes on a plane, guys?
Oh, no.
Somewhere.
So, yeah, that was the first leg of the flight. And then the second leg of the flight, she was knocked out cold. So, actually, it was the dream.
That is incredible bit of parenting advice.
Yeah.
I probably
wouldn't say it's advice. I think maybe it wasn't the wisest of decisions, but I couldn't control myself.
There is that feeling, though, when you do fall asleep and you wake up and you're like, where are my children? Like, yeah. Sometimes my kids always wake me up, so I never really have that luxury. Like, every morning, mummy, at 5:45, I'm like, fuck you, tiny humans. But sometimes, if Isla's there, they will get up and go downstairs by themselves. Now, Georgia's used to this, because Prince Axel's been doing this for a long time. My kids just don't do it. But then I woke up, it was 7:10, and I was like, and then I was like, where are they?
You do have
and
that
they just
weird.
They were just sitting downstairs, they were eating the breakfast in front, they'd turn the telly on there, and I was like, oh my god, this is a snippet into my future life.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, no, Loretta doesn't do that.
No,
usually.
Well, she's three.
Because we co-sleep as well, so normally I get that whole morning, mummy.
Oh. So do you go to bed at the same time? No. Or at the moment, do you?
So what I do is I put Loretta to bed. She normally goes between 7 and 8. So when I gave birth to Loretta, this was a really good habit that I picked up from having a child, is I really got into reading, because obviously I can't sit on my phone and like scroll on Instagram.
Yep.
Because she would be watching it. So I started reading. So I go to bed, do her like bedtime, like book and bedtime talks and whatever. She goes to sleep. I read my book until she falls asleep. Once she's fallen asleep, I hold my breath and I slug out of the bed. Trying not to make any movement, any noise. Keeping in mind that I live in like an 18th century house that creaks, that every floorboard creaks. I have to like suck in, creep out of the
bedroom. Mission Impossible.
No, it is. Because if she clocks, she'll sit straight up. Then I go downstairs and then I'll have like the evening for myself a little bit, and then I'll go back up. And then she normally wakes me up in the morning. Sometimes I wake up before and the same sort of thing. I have to slug out of the bed and go downstairs and get on with things.
Now, before we talk to you about, you know, current things with Loretta and your life as mum, take us back to your childhood, because I know your mum and dad. I've been to your house.
We've had your mum on the podcast.
Yeah, we've had your mum. Yeah,
she's been before me.
Yeah.
Years ago. And I know what a magical place that is, but try and put it into words for us what it was like growing up in the household.
In the Bright household. Yeah. Okay, so I would say that my parents are slightly eccentric. They're definitely not your box standard family. We're not the box standard family. So my parents fostered, my mum became a foster carer when I was, I think, 13 months. She had two children very close in age. So me and my eldest sister, there's only 13 months between us. And she just decided that she needed like a complete career change because she was in fashion and she was like, I can't be traveling and doing all these long hours, and I, you know, putting both my kids through childcare. I don't even think childcare was a big thing back then.
Yeah.
So she then decided to become a foster carer, and I think it was just supposed to be like a short-term thing whilst me and Georgia were growing up before we went to school. And then she fell in love with it. So my household and my family life was always full of, usually on average, there was about 6 of us. Sometimes there was more. So it was a very chaotic but loving, crazy family. And my parents in general as well, they're just very, like eccentric people. They're very loud. They're just, they're full of energy. Our house was just very, like, it was just always like this open house. There was always people in and out of it.
And can we talk about the pig? Because came to your house, right, set the scene. We're getting ready to do our big red carpet at the Brits. I come round to Lyd's house to get ready. And I'm like, beautiful house, walk in. And I'm like, oh my God, that sounds like there's a pig in the kitchen.
Inside?
Tell us the rest of the story.
Okay, so as well as the usual, like, 6 children, my parents have always been massively into pets. Do you know what it is? They just love saving things, right? Like, everything. Like, even, like, the house, for example. The house is, like, full of things that they've salvaged off Skip. And like the house is just chaos. Like there's one kitchen door that's like art deco and the other one is like super modern and sleek, where they just like salvage things. So they're also into like rehoming animals. So usually on top of the 6 children, there was like 3 dogs. Like we'd have like guinea pigs, rabbits. And at one stage, we also had a pig. That actually was my fault, though. That was at my parents. I got the pig, which was supposed to be a micro pig,
yeah,
which don't exist, FYI. They're that's a fake thing. They're right. Not. There's no such thing as micro pigs. Pigs never stay that small. It's just a
so
piglet.
It's just like a sales tactic
for sales
for
tactic,
people back then
for people to get cons. And I'd love him to bits. He's a very easy person to get cons. He went to a farm. They said that they were these micro pigs, this litter of micro pigs. He was like, "Yeah, brilliant. I'll get her one." The pig grew into a walrus.
It was so fucking big.
Huge.
It was in the kitchen, like,
yeah.
And we were trying to get ready for the Brits, and I was like, and Liz was like, "It's all right, you can stroke it." And I was like, "Okay."
No, it grew tusks. That's how big it got.
Yeah.
I don't know
and
what
it was
say.
Really aggressive as well, because you have to get, if you're going to get pigs castrated, it was a man, Mr. Darcy,
yeah,
his name.
Yeah, Mr. Darcy.
Mr. Darcy. If you're going to get them castrated, which you should do to avoid the extra testosterone and the aggression and stuff, you have to do it within the first 6 months, or we discovered this at like 7-8 months. So he used to just charge. Mm. And he'd like have sex with the space hoppers outside. He used to try and mount our West Highland Terriers.
Oh my God.
He nearly killed poor Trevor, my West Highland Terrier, who was literally like 15, 16.
But I love that there's all that chaos going on. And most people, I mean, if that was me, I'd be like, get this pig out. But you don't. You just keep them.
He used to charge for the fridge.
Mr. Darcy.
Oh, yeah, he'd charge for everything. So he did get moved, and he moved to a petting farm. He's gone now, God bless his soul. But he went to a petting farm, and we knew that we'd made the right decision when 2 weeks into living at the petting farm, we got a call from the farmer that said that he killed a duck. A duck had flown.
I'm not
a duck. A duck had flown from its pen into his area, and he decapitated it.
Wow.
That could have been Trevor.
That could have been anyone. No, that could have been you when you went into, just thought you were going to the Brits, just ready for the red carpet.
It's not very Sense and Sensibility, is it, old Mr. Darcy?
That sounds crazy, like you say. Did you know, when you were a child or a teenager, would you go to friends' houses and be like, "Whoa, this is quiet and different."
Yes.
Did you like it?
It wasn't even going to friends' houses. It was even just seeing my friends' mums in the playground, because my mum as well, where she was in fashion, she was very eccentric as well. So I remember, like, the mums would turn up at the school gates and they'd just be wearing, like, their Marks and Spencers, like, pleated trousers and, like, a white shirt and, like, a cashmere coat. And my mum would turn up and she'd be wearing a sari and clogs with bells on them and, like, her big wild hair. I just always knew that I was from a nutty family, basically. But I think when you're younger, you're more, you kind of want to blend in with in the background, don't you? And I actually, surprisingly enough, I was quite shy as a child. So I feel like I always used to be a bit like embarrassed, like, "Oh gosh, we're such a like loud, nutty family." But then as I've got older, I'm so grateful. Like, everyone in our area knows my mum and dad. Like, they're infamous just because of their crazy personalities.
One thing that really stood out to me was seeing how much they love each other.
Yeah.
Your parents are really in love.
Yeah.
So what was that like watching as a kid, and how has that impacted you as an adult?
I think they've set the bar too high.
I think they have.
It's a lot of pressure.
All their fault.
All of their daughters, bar Ellie, are single. I think they set the bar too high. My parents are actually like childhood sweethearts, really. They got together, I think, when my mum was 18 and my dad was 21. So, they've been together forever, but they are in love, but they're very open about, like, their ups and downs, and they're very open about, you know, that it hasn't always been roses, but they've fought through them. And I think that maybe, that's something that we'll try and take on board in the next relationship. But, like, you have to, like, fight through things. Although they are in love, you know, they do bicker, and they have gone through their hard times. They're also very, like, unconventional in their relationship, like, to the point that they only got married 5 years ago. They've been together all those years. They're very much like, you know, when you meet the person, write your own rules, like do it how you want to do it. Like my mum was 30 when she had her first child, which back then was old,
yeah.
You know, and she was, what would she have been then, 58 when she got married? You know, she didn't do things the traditional way, but it worked because look at them, they're still together.
Did you want to replicate that family life for yourself?
Oh, definitely. Like, family for me is the most important thing in life. Like, I've always been very ambitious and always wanted to succeed in so many ways in my life. But the ultimate number one thing that I want in life is a big family. Like, that would be my biggest achievement. Mm. And yeah, I've got one child at the moment, but the end goal would be, yeah, to have loads of children, because my family, we're just such a, I've seen and grown up in the beauty of having a big family. We're such a tight-knit network, and family is so important in every aspect of my life. And we're so close and we're with each other like constantly. I mean, it's maybe a little bit too intense sometimes, but but we are like just this like really tight-knit family, and that's something that I want for Loretta and something that I want for me as well.
How many foster siblings have you had?
I don't know. I feel like my mum's lost count over the years, but she's like, we're definitely like hundreds, like maybe even, yeah, like probably close to 200. Because my parents, when I was younger as well, they used to do a thing called emergency out of hours. So my parents were sort of the middle carer before a child would be placed into foster care. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we'd have children for like one night. So that really like racked up the numbers. And then what my parents do now as well, although they have their own foster placements where they have been foster carers for so long, they're also called Mockingbird foster carers, which means that they're the support system for like 10 or 15 foster carers in our borough. So if they need respite from the children, if they've got weddings or they've got weekends away or anything, or the kids are just playing up and they just need a little bit of help, my parents will step in. So like now we have like a lot of other children come in just for weekends as well. There's been a lot over the years.
Do you have any like micro resentments towards your parents growing up about the fact that there were all these other children in your house? Because I only have to look at when Isla, you know, she's with us week on, week off. When she comes back and she, I know, we've spoken about it, that she feels an element of like, well, Luna and Kit have had Dozer's, their daddy's attention throughout the whole time. And there, you can see there's a tussle going on between them. And it's only, you know, their siblings. So how did you feel about the fact that there were these other kids coming into the house, kind of taking away your parents?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like when I was younger, oh my gosh, I used to go through times where I'd shout and go, I just want to be an only child. And my mum actually says, she always speaks about this, that once she was really upset because she went into school and there was all like our work on the wall, and there was like a wall that was dedicated to like what we wish for. So like kids would be like, I wish there was no wars and no famine.
Right, yeah.
And mine was, I wish I was an only child. And my mum was absolutely devastated. So look, I definitely went through those times. I was very, very lucky that I was so close to my maternal grandma and grandfather.
Okay.
So they were sort of like my like hotel when I needed to check out, because the house was always heaving and it was always so busy, because as well as the children, my mum used to facilitate contact with their families and stuff. There was always just people in and out of our household. And my nan and granddad were always really good, like if ever I needed time out. And I used to spend a lot of time with them as well, naturally. Like it was just a weekly thing that I always went and spent, like probably most weekends I ended up spending with my grandparents, just because we just had this really like lovely bond.
And that's why you called Loretta, right?
Yes. Oh,
we'll come on to that.
Yeah.
I can imagine as a teenager that could have been tough.
Yeah.
You know those times when you feel like you need your mum, like in particular as a girl?
I think it was more, to be honest for me, I think it was more when I was that little bit younger, because it was like that sharing my mum being spread thin.
Yep.
I'm saying my mum more so because my dad actually did work full time as well. My dad's like in the building, so my mum was like the biggest like parenter when like before teenage years. And yeah, her being spread thin. So I think that, yeah, I struggled with it at times during those moments. But then look, I think that I always say for every negative that came from it, there's so many positives. And, you know, on the flip side, you know, I never had any of those feelings of ever feeling lonely. There was always excitement. There was always something going on. And that probably counteracts that part, you know, like poor Loretta sometimes, like she's like off playing by herself. She's like, mummy, mummy, play with me. And I think, oh, that like, that pangs at me sometimes. Yeah. I'm like, oh.
I don't want to be a cat again.
She's got, don't want to play Play-Doh for the 50th time.
Role play.
Oh my God.
Let's do role play. Oh. How about no?
Yeah. I know. And I think,
let's do role play. It's my idea. We're in a spa.
Oh.
You're the beautician. This is what I've played. Massage. And then I sit there and I'm like, this is the role play.
Yeah, but it lasts 30 seconds. Yes. It lasts 30
and
seconds,
it
doesn't it? I know. So like sometimes I sit and I think, I never had that growing up. There was always someone to play with.
Mm.
So yeah, like look, there were like, I'm not sugarcoating it. Of course, there were tough times. Like, take the fostering out of the equation. Like, there is tough times growing up in a big family anyway, whether they're foster siblings or biological siblings. It's always going to be tough fighting for attention when there's six children. But I also feel like there's just so many positives that outweigh that.
Yeah, and God, knowing you the way that I do and your amazing ability to have endless energy, love, support in a really non-judgmental way, maybe that has come from the fact that you've had to be so malleable as a kid with lots of other kids coming in.
Maybe. Yeah. It was like, speak up or you're not going to get heard. So I feel like the reason I'm talking so much is because I had to. Otherwise, no one would hear me.
Would you ever foster?
Yeah. Do you know what? I get asked that so much and it's definitely something that I would consider. But I think with me, where I'm in this world at the moment where I'm like super busy and, you know, doing all the influencing and the book stuff and I'm, you know, busy with all of that. I know how demanding it is when you become a foster carer. It isn't just becoming a parent. Yep. You also have to facilitate, contact. You also have to do a lot of training, like alongside it. It is a full-time job. And I mean, I have not a lot of time now anyway. Yep. So it would be more if I decided, like, I don't want to do what I'm doing at the moment. And if I wanted a career change later on down the line or things just dried up for me, I always say, I always used to say when I was younger, like whenever jobs come up, I'd be like, no, I've got to take it because you never know when it's going to dry up. And obviously I'm now like, what, like 15 years maybe down the line. And I'm still so busy doing like all of this media stuff. But, you know, if it ever dried up for me, then yeah, that would be something that would probably be like top of the list in terms of like, a career
another
change.
Career.
Yeah.
Now fast forward a certain period of time and it's time for you to enter one of the biggest TV shows that has ever graced our screens. I'm throwing it out there.
Yeah.
Towie. How does a shy girl who's got a foster family and is living that crazy life turn up in Towie?
So I was 18. I'd just finished doing my A-levels. I'd gone on my first girls' holiday to Marbella, of course. And I was like, I want to do a season out here. Before, I basically had deferred a place at university. And I was like, I want to do a season out here. I just want to have fun, blah, blah, blah. I was always really into my studies and I gave it like so much energy. And I was like, I don't want to then just go in studying again. I just want some time out. So did a couple of dead end jobs and then went to Spain to work. At the time, all of this was happening. All these like auditions and stuff was happening back home. I was in Spain with Arj, my boyfriend at the time.
Your childhood sweetheart.
My childhood sweetheart. Yeah, I was with him at the time. We broke up. So I think that was probably breakup 20 out of 5,000. he flew back to the UK. Some of his friends were on the show. He ended up going on the show, ended up talking about me loads, like off camera. And they were like, I feel like we need to get this girl on the show because James was becoming like a bit of a family favourite. And they were like, you know, I feel like we're... So they flew out to Spain, interviewed me and were like, probably, I can't even remember, but maybe like a couple of days later, they were like, right, we want you on the show. And I was like a skin 18-year-old. I'd already missed a flight, like my flight home. It was the end of the season. I'd already missed my flight because I was out partying. So I'd already wasted all that money on a flight and had no money for my next flight. So they were like, we'll fly you home and, you know, you can film if it's a bit of you, then, you know, we'll see what happens. We'll see where it takes you. So I was like, okay. My mum's always been one of them people, like, grab every opportunity. Yeah. You never know where it's going to... Yeah, and, like, just go for it. Like, life's too short. So I was like, fine. So I came home, did it. Absolutely hated from the first episode that I did.
You were?
No, I was, because everyone fell in love with Arj because they'd got to know him. I came right at the end of the episode, the series, and then I came in and was like, no, I don't want to be with you.
I remember it. Yeah. I remember it. And I do actually remember thinking, oh, go on, he's so nice.
And everyone was like, what a horrible girl, not giving this lovely boy a chance. Yeah, then the rest is history. Then I just did it for, all those years later.
How many years was it? 10?
No, I think that I did it for, I don't know, actually. I think I actually permanently came out of TOWIE when I was maybe like 24. Maybe 25, but I had a break in between.
Right.
So maybe I did it for 6 years, maybe, because, I think I had a year out at some point. It was...
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, it was just like... Just the craziest thing. Like, it happened for all of us, like, overnight. At the time, there was no reality TV in... the UK, really. We were like the first structured reality show in the UK. I can't think they kind of like
scripted reality, wasn't it? Really?
Yeah. They called it, like structured reality because there wasn't like a script as such. Like, they never gave us words, but there was a structure to how everything was going to pan out. And they'd like set scenarios up. So of course, like, we all lived so loads of us lived really far away from each other, and people were like, I can't believe they just bump into each other, like, they broke up yesterday and they've bumped into each other the next day.
You're right,
but they
you're
set
right.
that up. Yeah, everyone always used to say that.
You're right,
yeah, you're okay.
So happy memories then.
Oh my gosh, like, I wouldn't have achieved half of what I've achieved and been half of the places that I would have been had it not been for TOWIE. Like, I'm so grateful. I never ever dreamt of becoming famous. It weren't like anything that I ever really wanted to do. It was just an opportunity that came about and I went for it. I'm so grateful. I don't know what I would be doing had I not have done it. And the opportunities and the experiences that came off of it were just, like, amazing. Of course, there was some tough times. Like, naturally, you know, it's quite hard, like, as a teenager, like, living your life, living your relationship, and there's, like, 3 million people sitting there scrutinising it and giving you opinions on every decision that you make. Like, that part was a tough part. But, like... everything else that like came off of it, like the excitement of doing like the photo shoots and doing the TV campaigns and getting to travel, and, you know, like, the show was big in all these other countries as well, and it was just like,
it's massive,
crazy. Yeah. Like,
it was a finding time of life, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah. I don't absolutely.
We'll be right back after this short break.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Now, where were we?
Talk to us about when you decided to become a mum. Like, was that a conscious decision? Was it something you obviously said you always wanted a family?
Always, yeah. I always wanted to be a mum. And had it have not been for Tawi, I think that I would have been a mum a lot younger. Because I always, yeah, that was like my biggest thing. I always wanted to be a mum. And then I think where life was so busy and, you know, filming was so full on and there were so many things like going on, it just obviously was never really the right timing. But yeah, when I decided that I was going to have Loretta, so me and Loretta's dad were together for, I think we were together for 2 years when we were having the discussions of having Loretta. And yeah, it just felt like the right time. I think I was 28, I think, when I had Loretta, or 28 when I fell pregnant. Yeah, I think I was about 28 when I fell pregnant. And for me, I felt like I'd done everything that I felt like I wanted to do. I'd got all of those things out of the way. You know, I'd done the girls' holidays and I felt like I'd got everything out of my system that I, don't get me wrong, I'm still doing the girls' holiday. But, you know, like you, I felt like I had to get like all of that like young years out, and I just felt like I was in that position.
Yeah, throw yourself into it.
Yeah, I was in the position, I was ready for that next step. So yeah, it just felt like the right timing. You know, I felt settled in a relationship. Obviously, then life threw me a massive curveball and threw me completely off track because, you know, then when I was 12 weeks pregnant, it wasn't the right timing because then I wasn't in this, like, loving relationship.
How was that for you?
Do you know what it was? I think that it was that whole, you know, putting that pressure on myself that, like, and like we all do, that life was going to be a certain way. And, you know, I felt like I'd done it the right way. Like I said, I'd got all the partying. I was at that age where I wanted to settle when we were living together and we were buying a house together. It just felt like it was all the right way. And then all of a sudden it was like this unexpected, you know, throwing me completely off path. And I just felt like devastated as well. And I was just like lost. I was really, really lost. And just like questioning things and like you can't help but feel a little bit of a failure. Like you can't help it.
Yeah.
Was that because you were worried about what other people were going to think?
Massively.
Were you?
Yes. And I think that that's something that changes when you become a mother. I think before I had Loretta, I was so conscious all the time. And maybe as well because of what I'd done in my life being on reality TV. My life was always being picked apart. I think that I was just so conscious of like people's judgments and like probably if I admit to myself maybe I had a little bit of a stereotype of like single mums, you know, maybe that was something that I had as well. And I was thinking, oh my gosh, like people are going to think negatively about me.
That's so interesting.
I really did worry massively about what people were thinking. You know, my mum was always, I think because of my mum's career, and my mum's like the most open-minded, like
supportive
woman. Yeah. And, you know, she was like, you know, no bad is ever going to come from having a baby. And she's always lived by that, like ethos, like all the babies that come into like care, you know, maybe they've come from really horrific circumstances. I'm not saying that my circumstances was horrific. There's a million people that it's worse scenarios. And every child is a blessing and every child brings joy. And my mum was like, you wait, this doesn't matter. All of these worries and concerns that you have and all of this sadness that you have, when this baby comes, none of that will matter.
What were your main concerns? Like, what were your main concerns? The things that you'd be thinking about? Like,
yeah, I think that my main concerns would be people's judgments, people thinking that, you know, I wasn't doing it like the fairy tale way. And I was thinking a lot of people might still have that old school mentality that, you know, you should be having a child with a two parent family and that's the right upbringing for a child. And I don't know why I condition myself to think these things.
Well, because
I've grown up in that that fact, but I don't know. There was just, I think that maybe because I wasn't in the best place mentally anyway, I then was just grabbing onto these little anecdotes and things like, you know, I was like just thinking that people were going to judge me for that. And also as well, I just think that my life was just thrown off track. I think when you think your life's going to go a certain way and then you're just, you know, thrown off track, it was just...
Yeah, when it doesn't look like how you planned. Yeah. Were you scared? Like, were you...
Yeah, and I just think that I was heartbroken as well. Yeah. I was heartbroken basically my whole pregnancy. And I think that, like, just being in that mindset, you know, like, that's... It wasn't a magical pregnancy. 100% it wasn't.
And was it a magical birth?
And I had the most magical
birth. Because I've never heard you speak about your birth.
Oh, my gosh. I think that Jesus was looking down at me and just thought, she's gone through it, right?
She needs a bit of luck.
So I am going to give her a nice labour because I had the most magical birthing experience. I honestly...
Tell us.
I don't even think it... I didn't feel like it was even that painful. Sorry if yours was really painful, but... I gave birth in the water. I just had gas in there. I had no tearing, no split. I gave birth, I think I was in active labour for 3 or 4 hours. I mean, I thought I was having Braxton Hicks and I called my midwife and I just said, I'm pretty sure I'm having Braxton Hicks, but I'm due like next week. So maybe would you mind coming over and checking? And she came and checked and she was like, you're 5 centimetres dilated. We need to get you to hospital.
What an amazing, amazing positive birth story that is.
It was amazing. So I absolutely loved the giving birth and I can't wait to do it again.
Did you prep for it? Like,
I did hit my birth in and I didn't like my perineal massage.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Doesn't love that.
Yeah, I know. Well, I had to do mine myself, though. So I think I pulled my sister into it a few times and she was like, you are so lucky to have me.
I draw the line.
Because I never had a partner to do it. So I was like, George, I'm struggling. Can you, like, just try for me? And she was like,
That's sisterly love.
Oh, my gosh. When I was having my contractions, my sister, in between contractions, my sister was shaving my vagina.
What?
Yeah, because, again, it was like, and I was like, I don't want to go into labour, and not be, like, prepped down there. I don't know why this was my biggest concern.
Isn't that
bad?
No, we hear that a lot.
We did that.
Yeah, we hear it a lot.
Now I look back, I'm like, that is wild. I had my hair in rollers when I was, like, on my way to the hospital. I took them out.
No.
Yeah.
Okay, you were worse than me.
But first time round, I did all of that. And then second time round, I don't think I really cared that. I didn't really care. But now I look back, why was that a thing?
Oh, I kept telling
my... I thought was going to happen.
I kept telling my midwife, oh, I normally have my legs waxed. I'm sorry if they're a bit... And she was like, literally don't give two shits. Yeah.
Why do we do that? We're so vain, aren't we?
We want the perfect vagina at the time, don't we? And then we realise afterwards... Might never look the same again.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Who was in the room?
So, and I think maybe that was why I wanted to have my vagina shaped as well, because I knew that I was going to see her dad and I was thinking, you know, like, maybe I was still a little bit heartbroken and stuff, and I was thinking, I don't want to turn up with a bush.
It's the 70s, man.
He hasn't seen it for a while. There was the two midwives, my mum and Loretta's dad. So I was very lucky that I gave birth to Loretta 2 weeks before lockdown, which meant that I could have two birthing partners, because I know a lot of people with kids similar age to Loretta, they could only have one, because that would have been like so hard, because of obviously I would have wanted my mum, no offence to Loretta's dad, but over Loretta's dad, because like
you weren't together.
We weren't together and I needed her support, but equally I felt like I couldn't not have my daughter's dad in there. To be honest, he was actually amazing and really was like incredible in the birth. Like everything got put aside. Do you know what I mean? He was like in there rubbing the back and whatever. So yeah, I was lucky that I managed to have both of them. And then she came out and I remember they put her on me, and where I was in the water, it was like I pulled her out of the water and like put her on me and I couldn't see her. So my mum and like Loretta Stabley was like looking and stuff like that. And I went, who does she look like? And Loretta's dad went, oh, she looks exactly like me. And I went, oh! And she does.
And she does.
She's 100% her dad. Even her toes are like her dad. She hasn't even got an earlobe that's like me. She is Lee's absolute absolute clone, but it doesn't matter because she's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, she's perfect.
But she, yeah, she is her dad through and through.
How was your mental health after giving birth?
It's as like cliche as it sounds, the minute that Loretta was born, nothing else mattered. And I just was like so in love and so, you know, in awe of her that, yeah, I think all of the like sadness, all of that loneliness, like that just went like in an instant because of, you know, that was the biggest thing when I was pregnant, like the sadness and the loneliness. And I think all the other intrusive thoughts came because of that. And when I gave birth to her, like, oh my gosh, like that was it. Like all the loneliness.
You're not lonely anymore.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, you don't have a second to be lonely.
Yeah.
And it just everything, I just felt like, oh my God, it was everything in life happens for a reason. This was always meant to be.
Mm.
Yeah.
Do you call yourself a single parent?
Yes, I do call myself a single parent. You know, Loretta lives like exclusively with me. I think her dad will happily like accept that, like, you know, I make like all the parenting choices and he appreciates, obviously, like I involve him, but he appreciates that I make like I make them like the majority of the choices. Yeah, I would class myself as a single mum, but then sometimes I doubt myself of even saying that because I do have such a great support system in the sense of my family.
But ultimately the parenting decisions are made by you.
Yeah, and she lives with me.
She lives with you.
Yeah.
And tell us the best bits about being a single parent and tell us the hardest parts.
Yeah, I would say the best part of being a single mum is just that bond. And I think especially because I did have Loretta during lockdown, you know, me and Loretta were like locked down together, like in this like newborn bubble. There was no like leaving the house for work. I still was working. I went back to work when she was like young. But it was just me and her in that house on and off for like, what was it, like 18 months, 2 years?
Yeah,
like obviously there was parts and I ended up seeing my family because you could then do the bubbles, like single mums could then, or single parents could then do bubbles. But really it was me and Loretta in that house, like pretty much like 80% of the time for that whole lockdown. And I think that that bond that we created, because it was just us two, all of those like milestones and like special moments, like first time walking, first time talking team, all of those memories were just exclusive to us. Like it was just us two, like having that magic together. And I just think, like our bond, like sometimes I think like, would there have been room for anybody else? Like
I was going to ask you that actually.
I think like would there like look, I'd like to think that it isn't going to be this way forever. I do want to meet somebody and I do want to have more children, but I will always be appreciative and like look at these years as like probably the happiest years of my life, because it's just been me and Loretta, and the joy that you get from a child, and especially the, those first 2 years when I wasn't doing anything else but just being with Loretta and life was just simple and stripped back, the joy that comes from that, it's just, I'll never ever probably have those moments again. So I think ultimately the biggest thing is the bond. You know, everybody loves their child. I'm not saying it's any different if you've got a two-parent family or a single-parent family. Like, obviously, you love your child, but the bond, I think, is just stronger because there's no one else to share it with.
Yeah.
And also, as well, like, relationships, look, let's be honest, relationships are hard. Like, you know, me and Loretta's dad, it was unexpected, but of course, all relationships have ups and downs. Yeah. And I think that I didn't have to, like, have any of that, like, overshadowed. Like, everything was just, like, beautiful.
I know people, like, if I think about the things that my husband and I argue about the most, it is usually decisions around the kids.
Really?
Like,
oh, God, I'm going to struggle with that then when I do have someone.
No, I think, gosh, like, if I could just do it my own way. No, but it is. There's a clash because you've got two people who've been brought up, you know, in different households. With different traditions, you think your values are aligned, but there's always things that come up.
Yeah.
You know, like my son, this is last night, came home with scratches all over his face and his neck, right? And I say, oh, God, Axel, like, what happened? And he's like, oh, I was rolling around in the playground and I got scratches on my face. right? Me, I'd go, oh, okay, cool. My husband's like, no, who did this to you? Who did this to you?
Oh,
what's
wow,
happened?
Really?
Interrogation. And I'm like, leave him alone, you know? And we have that thing of, yeah, I'm one way, he's another way.
Yeah.
And we clash on things like that. So when you don't have that thing...
There's only one cook in the kitchen.
There's one cook in the kitchen.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe I am going to struggle with that if I do it.
Oh.
Next time, because I've never ever, yeah, it's always been me and my choices.
I feel like it's so annoying because we've only got 7 minutes left.
Oh my gosh, I love this chat.
To talk.
Can we do a part two?
Yes, yes. Please, 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 before we say goodbye, we have to talk about your beautiful new book,
yes,
Mummy and Me.
Yes.
Talk to us.
I've actually got it.
Okay.
Here.
So, yes. So, I started writing this book when I was pregnant. As I said, I was so like lost and lonely. And I think, yeah, I just needed like a little bit of a distraction. I needed to chuck myself into a project. I love being busy anyway. So, yeah, the book was an idea that came about because I found that I was doing all this research into, you know, single parent families and trying to get things in order so that Loretta felt represented at home. So I was ordering children's books and I just felt like I wasn't finding anything that was a book that represented single parent families in just like a magical story.
Yep.
Everything was quite informative and aimed more at older children. So that's where the idea came about. And because I just felt like there was just a bit of a niche, you know, there's so many single parent families. There's, I think it's like 15% of the UK is single parent families. The majority of them are mums. And I just feel like it's just underrepresented in books. And I just think that I just wanted, yeah, all children to just feel like single parent family children to be represented, but not just for single parent families, but just all families,
yeah,
to just see,
yeah,
different family setups and not in a way that's like, this is mum, this is dad, mum lives in this. It's just like, it's basically a magical story about a mum and her child and like adventure, which is what me and Loretta always live our life by. You know, I always, my saying that I live by is the greatest gift you could have ever given her is a lifetime full of adventures. So it's just a magical adventure about a family that happens to be a single parent family. So
everyone go and buy it.
I love
Please,
that.
Go and buy it.
And when is it out?
The book is out now.
Yay, that's so exciting.
Yes.
So it's out, you can go and buy it.
Go and
buy
get your hands
it.
On it.
Yeah, and it's just been, it's been like a 4.5 year long process, but it's been like a proper passion project.
Are you proud of yourself?
I'm so proud of myself. Yeah, I'm so proud of myself because I feel like, yeah, like this will be so magical for children, but also as well, it's just celebrating single mums. I can't wait for like loads of, I've done like a dear reader sort of page at the beginning, and it's just like a little message to all my single mums out there, because I think that you do become a little bit of a community. So the book's for the children, but it's also just to celebrate single mums
because they're the rock stars. Lydia, we always love to ask our guests,
yes,
about their favourite products. So are there any, okay, that you sort of, obviously the book is,
yes,
one.
Yes, okay, so I wrote these down because I felt like I had to really
top
think about
student.
These right, so the first product is Sophie the Giraffe.
Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh, we went through so many of them and I tried so many other teething toys, but nothing compared. We went through so many because she'd always chuck it out of the pram. But yeah, Sophie the Giraffe for when Loretta was teething. I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, but Aiden and Anais, muslins.
The muslins.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, yeah, amazing. And we still have muslins now and Loretta's like 3.5, but she still goes to sleep with them as a comfort.
So does Kit.
Does he?
And he's 5, going to be 6 soon.
Yeah.
He's like, where's my blankie? I'm like,
oh, I know, Loretta's.
That's
has
a really good
hair.
Tip as
so
well
cute.
To have those as your, yeah, comforter, because you can have loads of them. Whereas if you get like, I don't know, we've got an elephant.
Yeah.
If you lose that, you're literally buggered.
Yeah. 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 And I always just felt that those were really soft. They always wash up well. Then I thought Mugo cream.
Ooh,
but
yeah.
Mugo in itself, I just felt like that was a brand that I really relied on heavily when Loretta was newborn, because it's like all natural and I was all about that. And even now, though, I still use like all their stuff. Jules Air Stroller.
Oh, is that a good one?
Oh my gosh, brilliant, because you can just fold it up really quickly. You can take it on the plane and, yeah, I just felt like it was...
Do you still use it for travel now?
I still use it now.
Yeah.
Loretta's really lazy. She hates walking. She loves getting top up. She'll run around, but if I make her like walk to a shop, or hates it.
Listen, it's easier sometimes as well. Yeah. Like, I still take buggies on holiday.
And then the last one was the Aldi Mamiya nappies. Always use them. And
brilliant.
I'm still using nappies as well. Yeah. I'm still not out of the... She still wheeze at night time.
I'm not. And really? I've got a seven-year-old and a four-year-old.
Oh, okay. Okay, because I always think, I'm like, oh my gosh, is she late?
No, a lot of my friends. They do it at different stages.
Yeah,
don't worry about anyone else's
child. Yeah, I really wouldn't. And I think a lot of people like to tell you that they're at, like, when they are out of them, but not many people will tell you when they're not.
Okay, well, my child's still in nappies and she's four very soon. So, yeah, and I just found that those, they were always the best ones and they're really cheap as well because like, I'm 4 years in and I'm still buying nappies. So I need to save the money.
And George, advice?
Yeah, I feel like you've given so much advice on this podcast, but I guess what would be your one piece of advice maybe to, you know, a mum who's maybe facing being a single parent now and pregnant, or they've just become a single parent, what would you say to them?
I would probably say, yeah, for mums that are, you know, facing single parenthood, I just think sometimes I think that the thought of it is so much more daunting than it actually is. And I think that, you know, it's that whole, like I said, like letting go of like this like fairy tale setup that you thought that you were going to have and your life being thrown off course. And that's daunting. But actually, even if I could have done it the other way, I am so grateful. I honestly, hand on my heart, believe that being a single mum was my destiny. And I do not think that I would be happier than I am now had I have done it in a two-parent family. So I just think, you know, just accept and see the magic in it, because there's so much joy that comes from being a single parent, and let go of that fairy tale. Do you know what I mean? I think that we aren't all meant to live our life the same way. And, you know, it's acceptance and enjoying what life, your new sort of
set up.
Yeah, exactly.
That was beautiful. Yeah. Amazing.
What a beautiful sign off to the podcast. Oh. Lydia, what an absolute treat to sit down with you. Thank you so much for coming on. What a bloody legend.
Oh, Lydia. Lydia. Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
What? I mean, I was howling, actually. It's
so funny.
Her sister shaving her. Before she went into labour. I mean, that the vision just cracks me up. Absolutely cracks me up. I don't have a sister, but I, you know, would you let your sister do that?
100% not. I literally thought you were going to go, would you do that for me? And the answer is no. But I love the way she talks about her TOWIE days as well. That was really interesting.
I know.
Like a bit of an insight. And then all of those beautiful moments that she shared about Loretta and how it was just the two of them, and the fact that, you know, she puts her to bed every night and then sort of creeps out, slides out the bed, creeps, you know, just like real stuff that we're all doing. But yeah, I think it's beautiful that she's opening up and talking about her parenting journey now, because I know for a while, you know, she wasn't ready to discuss it all. And obviously since we recorded that podcast, her book, Mummy and Me, number one seller now. She's a number one selling author.
Absolutely. Yeah, it is amazing. And also it goes to show just how needed a book like that is for anyone, actually anyone. You don't have to be a single parent to buy that book, because it's just good for your kids to, like, just read about all families that come in all different shapes and sizes, don't they?
Luna loves it. Luna's favourite book. She read it. She keeps reading it to us. I sent a video of Luna reading the book to Lydia, and she was like, my heart's breaking. Thank you so much for this. And I was like, it's her new favourite book. So yeah, everyone needs to go out and buy it, but it seems that everyone already has. So well done, Lids. And thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. As always, we'd love you to rate, review, subscribe, and please give our podcast a little listen.
Yeah, and if you've got any guests you'd like to hear from or feedback on this episode, then please do drop us a DM. We are on @MadeByMamas. We'll be back on Friday.
Made by Mamas is an Insanity podcast production, and today's episode was produced by the lovely Charlotte Mason.
Insanity Group.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Think of your favorite one-hit wonder.
Or that overpriced toy your parents would never let you have.
Or that TV show that no one else remembers because it was canceled way too soon. Now what if we could fix it? I'm Francesca Ramsey.
And I'm DeLon Grant. And after 20 years of friendship, we are now hosting a new nostalgia podcast called Let Me Fix It.
Each episode, we'll dig into our favorite celebrities, shows, and brands of yesteryear, and then imagine what it would take to repackage them for relevance today.
Think of our show as an intervention, but with way less stakes.
So subscribe to Let Me Fix It wherever you get your favorite podcasts.